Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Is God binary? And what's the end game for our war with Shia-occupied Iran? It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
Is God non-binary? According to Tallarico, that's what the Bible says. Friends, listen please, this is an important issue. I don't know how that guy got into the Texas legislature in the first place, but he did. He's been there a while, and now he's running for Senate. He's up against Paxton. We think Paxton will win, but listen, we need to pay attention to what's developing within the Democrat Party. Friend, the only non-binary god I've ever seen is Baphomet, a representation of Satan as a goat with both human male and female features, you know, the androgynous thing, seated on his throne beneath a pentagram with children gathered to his sides. Don't sacrifice the children to Baphomet. Schumer endorsed James Tallarico is running for a Texas Senate seat against Trump-endorsed Ken Paxton. I guess Joe Rogan encouraged the guy to run for president. That's weird. Probably the most controversial endorsement is from Hassan Piker, an avowed socialist who admits that communism is the end goal of socialism and that communism is something he's fine with. He says he doesn't believe it's achievable unless it's done worldwide. Oh boy. It's too utopian, he says, to achieve success otherwise. Something along those lines. Anyway, he sounds like a dedicated Nimrodian. That might be a bit too inside for my newer listeners, but hang around. This guy's claim on our attention is questionable. After all, we're only talking about him because he beat out Jasmine Crockett. And that's not an impressive feat. But he is connected with some very bizarre beliefs, which we will examine. And he won in a Texas primary. All right, that's statewide. So let me say that before I explain why I'm bothering to even talk about this crazy creeper, I hope and pray, I trust you'll join me, that this man will never sit in the U.S. Senate chamber and most certainly never sit in the White House, but he has got this far in a red state, and that is deeply disturbing. Now, friends, don't get me wrong. I'm well aware that Texas has its enclaves of whacked-out woke libs. San Antonio is one example. And it has not gone unnoticed that Texas has been turning purple, you know, increasingly shades of purple, since former Texas Governor Rick Perry campaigned here in California to encourage migration to Texas. I'm just saying. Nevertheless, Texas has a reputation as a reliable red state with deep roots in evangelical Christianity. So, what's with the commie dude running for a Texas Senate seat who thinks it's okay for boys to participate in girl sports, among other things? I have a complete report on Tallarico's beliefs and public statements here, linked in my notes. Everything is documented and premised on his public statements. He studied at the Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary and earned a master's in theological studies in 2025. Apparently, he has not been officially ordained. He identifies himself as a Presbyterian seminarian. Therefore, we expect he holds to some rudiments of Christian faith, the resurrection as a historical event, you know, love God and your neighbor as the essence of Christian expression, and so on. But it's where he departs from the faith that is concerning and in need of examination. In that light, Here's an in brief overview. He said, quote, I've learned as much about my faith from Islamic mystics as I have from Christian authors, end quote. Now, in my examination of Tallarico's faith document, I include a summary of mystical Islamism. I can't do that here, but I'll say there is nothing in Islamic mysticism that corresponds to Paul's descriptions of Christian experience and that comes anywhere near the sublimity or clarity of thought in his descriptions of the spiritual life. On the other hand, there is much in Islamic mysticism that not only falls short and not only distorts, but actually contradicts Christian belief about who Jesus Christ is, along with the doctrine of resurrection and so many other things. The concern is, now, of course, I understand he's not saying he embraces everything Islamic mysticism teaches, but my friend, the concern here is that he elevates Islamic mysticism to a level equivalent to biblical revelation. His superficial understanding of the Bible accounts for statements like, quote, the Bible is silent on abortion, end quote, based almost entirely upon the observation that the word abortion does not appear. Now, friend, John the Baptist recognized Jesus the Christ while both of these babies were in the wombs of their mothers. And right now, some states would allow a child at that stage of development to be cut to pieces and then ripped out of the mother's womb and reassembled on a cold steel table. And we know that Tallarico emphatically agrees with the so-called right of a mother to destroy her child through abortion. Friend, that's not Christian. Let's look at one more, for now at least. And again, get my document that provides a thorough examination of his beliefs by going to brainmassage.net. Use the contact menu link to open an email form you can use to send me an email. And then make sure you write in the note field Tallarico's beliefs, or just put his name, Tallarico. Spell it any way you can, just close enough for me to get it. And I'll email the PDF document to you free, of course. Tallarico says God is non-binary. October 14, 2021, while serving as a Texas state representative, Tallarico made this statement in connection with his strong objections to a bill that prohibited biological males from participating in sports programs in grades K through 12. That was Bill HB 25 in Texas. He said, quote, God is both masculine and feminine and everything in between. God is non-binary, end quote. And then he alluded to a technical argument to support his statement, and it is included in my footnote here. Also, see my rebuttal in the appendix to these notes. But that technical stuff I can't bring out through my radio program, you understand. I've linked the video of his statement here. And you can watch the whole thing, but go to 220 for this statement. Tallarico's theology about the nature of God doesn't stand up to scrutiny, and I believe he knows it doesn't. When a fellow representative in the Texas Assembly asked to respond, to ask him some questions about his statements, and to show him some other things that are said in Genesis chapter 1, Tallarico refused and proceeded to accuse him and all members who were in favor of HB 25, which prohibits biological males from participating in sports programs intended for biological females. In his system of theology, it's cruel and hateful to protect girls from being forced to compete with boys, which is dangerous, by the way. And he thinks it's kind to encourage children to hate their natural God-given gender and then live in the cruel delusion that they can change their body's genetic structure with words or surgery or hormones or all three. He concluded his statement by saying, trans children are God's children made in God's own image. Well, we would agree with that. There's nothing wrong with them. I agree with that. Nothing at all. Well, I agree with that. They are perfect. Well, none of us are perfect, but we should strive to be. They are beautiful, certainly. And they are sacred. Amen. Bullying children is immoral. I agree with that as well. It's a sin. Yes. A special kind of sin. I would agree with all of that. And Tellerico, you're guilty of it. When God created man, he differentiated man into two immutable biological categories, and he named them male and female, created he them. Genesis 1:27. Now, these are biologically immutable. That means he can't change it. Females have XX chromosomes, and males have XY. The first X in both males and females is the same. But the second X in the female has 155 million DNA base pairs as compares to the Y in the male, which includes 59 million base pairs. Good night. Talk about differences. There is no surgery or hormone therapy that can change the DNA structure set by God. No matter how you mutilate a boy, he will never be a she. No matter what you cut off or sew on to a girl, she will never be a he. Tellerico and those who agree with this nonsense are the vicious, mean-spirited, and hateful ones in this debate. Tellerico claims to get his theology about God from the Bible. His superficiality in Bible exegesis is demonstrated in his views on abortion, and in this too. He claims God is both male and female. He presents an argument from Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, to prove that God is both male and female, because in one verse, the word God is masculine, and in verse 2, the word spirit is feminine. Feminine words are used to speak of certain body parts of men. But that does not make the male a female. Genetics takes care of that, my friend. You see, language does not make someone male or female. Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips, Isaiah 6:5. The word lips is feminine. The fact that a man has lips does not make him both male and female. We could pull together many other examples where a word might function in a sentence in the feminine gender, describing, I don't know, an activity, an attribute of a male, whatever, but that doesn't make the male a female. In some places, the word spirit takes its gender from a feminine word used in the sentence, and in others, it takes the masculine gender from a word that's used in the sentence. It's a grammatical thing. The gender of a word does not create the gender of the noun. Words don't define gender. You can't change your gender by changing the word you use to describe it. God created a binary system for the purpose of reproduction and for joining a man with his mate, male and female, created he them. And by the way, not him, them. Let's keep our pronouns straight, shall we? Finally, think about this. God created Adam in his image and likeness. In the image of God created he him. Then he said, male and female created he them. Well, that's in Genesis 1:27. Adam was an original creation. But Eve actually was not. I mean, she's original for sure, but she was created from man. So the image of God was already set there. And then she derives the image of God from being taken out of man. Anyway, a woman's share in the likeness of God comes from God through the man. Then God arranged for man thereafter to come into the world from the woman. 1 Corinthians 11, 4-12 explains all this. Finally, consider Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. 2 Corinthians 4:4, which also speaks, that passage speaks of the God of this world that blinds the minds of men. And then Colossians 1:14, since Christ, the second person of the Godhead, is the image of the invisible God, well, then he is the image in which man was created. Christ then came into the world through the woman and was made in the fashion of a man. Genesis 3:15, 16, all the verses are in my notes here, and you would do well to read them. This is called the incarnation. You probably have heard about it. We celebrate it every Christmas. John 1:1, 14, 1 Timothy 3:16, and so on. Now look, at Luke 2 verse 21. The Bible says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, do I need to describe circumcision? Friend, God manifest in flesh was manifest as a man, the image of God. Christ, the image of the invisible God, was manifested into this world as a male child. God created Adam, a male, out of whom he made the woman, who is designated the female. God is not female. His pronouns are he and him. Okay, my friends, hold on to the break. I'll be right back. I appreciate all of you who join me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoy the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program. Remember, you can hear us here on 1240 AM Saturday at noon and Sunday morning at 7. But you can also receive our show when it posts on Friday evening, delivered straight to your email inbox. Go to brainmassage.net, where you can register to have the show delivered to your inbox and receive a link to participate in Brain Massage Live. That's a lot of content for a little love. I need about 250 of my regular listeners to pitch in $3 a month to add to what other generous supporters give monthly to help us bring this show to you. God bless you, my friends. Thank you very much.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry, singing the enemies on the march. An enemy that is reaching out right now, trying to steal from us our liberties. Update on our war against Shia-occupied Iran leeches. Soil. Made that up. Anyway, these Shia-occupied Iran leeches continue to play their Arab neighbors, well, as fools, allowing them to posture before the world as serious negotiators when, in fact, they're stalling. Now, is it Qatar, and so on, I've heard all these, but they're the latest. Qatar's prime minister pressed the leaders of the occupation force in Iran to restore freedom of navigation through Hormuz. The occupying Islamist regime, represented by their IRGC foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, he thought the talks were creative. Araghchi, a name to be added with the rest of the thugs who are continuing the Iranian hostage crisis that began in 1979. Well, think about that. Again, urged Washington to resume negotiations. Soil says it's preparing a list of conditions to allow traffic to flow through the strait. Yeah, you hear that, right? They're trying to maintain the posture that they control the strait. U.S. answer? We have removed regime mines from the strait. We have assisted close to 1,500 commercial vessels carrying nearly 750 million barrels of crude through Hormuz. Admiral Brad Cooper reports, U.S. Admiral Brad Cooper reports that the international shipping lanes are physically open. Of course, Reuters sources reporting from those who really know what's going on, you know, sources within Iran, they really know what's going on. And from others who are hostile to the United States, well, of course, they really know what's going on, you know. So Reuters and so on, they regard those sources as, well, more reliable, actually. And so they report a more cautionary tale. We continue to insist Islam, the word means submit, to the law of the sea. Neither Iran nor Oman have legal authority to open or close the strait to commercial transit, and neither has the power to break the blockade. The reason neither can say their assertion over the strait is strictly limited to America's military presence, because that would be a basis for trying to control activity, is because they don't take any shots at our ships. They don't take any shots at the military presence of our Navy. They take shots at the commercial traffic, which they have no business doing that. They're targeting commercial transit, not military vessels. So they can't use that as their excuse. They reject the proposition that they have no authority to impose fees or otherwise interfere with the free transit of commercial ships through the strait because it's international. It's an international passageway. Now, I've explained that several times before. We don't have time for it right now. Arachi represents the IRGC. He doesn't represent Iran. He represents the occupation force of the unwelcomed Shia dictatorship and calls the Trump administration's economic D-Day operation a crime against humanity? Really? And murdering tens of thousands of the real people of the land of Cyrus is not a crime against humanity? We have an inalienable right to redress our grievances against any human government abuse. To deny that right to people peacefully protesting is a violation of human rights, and so a crime against humanity. Starving out a parasitical, oppressing regime, well, that's the necessary curative to a country that at one point in its history actually decided to go with these crazy radical nut jobs. This fool, Arachi, says putting diplomacy back on track hinges on the U.S. understanding one simple fact, he said. Are you ready for this? The simple fact is, quote, pressure doesn't work, end quote. You've got to be kidding me. Yeah. Seriously, like setting a sharpshooter in position to target protesters and then picking them off in the crowd, terrorizing the people, killing tens of thousands of their own people. That sort of pressure, that doesn't work? Then why do you do it? Or mining the strait to attack domestic transit through the strait or to control it or discourage it, that sort of pressure doesn't work? Then why do you do it? Or maybe telling the world they'll have to bow to their piracy in violation of the international law of the sea, extracting protection money from countries that use the strait to transit from one body of water to another, which is protected by international law. These Muslims are committing piracy in international waters and doing it to create pressure they think they'll be able to use against the U.S., against Trump in negotiations, because they figure Trump won't be there forever, you see, and the Congress could flip to the control of Muslims and communists that are making their bid right. Think about this. And busy the administration with impeachment terrorism. But what Trump is saying to them is, your pressure tactics, Iraniacs, will not work on the American people anymore. You are not dealing with Obama or Biden. We will no longer cater to pirates. You know, George Washington signed the Naval Act of March 27, 1794, specifically in the context of protecting American commerce against the Barbary Muslim pirates. These jokers have been doing this nonsense almost from the beginning of our country. Loath to enter another war, Washington opted to pay tribute to the pirates. Now you can argue about that. I don't think it's a good idea. But he chose to do that rather than go to war. While building up our Navy, by the way, that's why he signed this bill. But the character of the Muslim pirates was set on evil as early as 1794, the 1801, and they welched on every deal they made, ratcheting up the protection money demands they were making until Jefferson finally came along and said, that's enough, and he deployed the Navy. And this led to the famous Battle of Tripoli, immortalized in the Marines' hymn. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles in the air, on land, and sea. First to fight for right and freedom and to keep our honor clean, we are proud to claim the title of United States Marines. Don't mistake Trump's reluctance to put boots on the ground to clear out this latest Muslim piracy and to remove these leeches. Don't take his reluctance in that matter as responsive to any reluctance he perceives on the part of our Marines to engage this enemy and get the job done. I can tell you, these guys are ready. Right makes might. When evil is boldly resisted by good, evil lashes out, but loses in the end. It's right that our commander-in-chief should be slow to commit our troops and seek every appropriate avenue of diplomacy and military buildup and so on, and perhaps some serious cannon shelling, you know, going back to the, anyway, and, you know, increasing military buildup and perhaps some serious cannon shelling to encourage our enemy to do what is right, in hopes to secure our rights against those who would steal our liberties. But believe me when I say, our Marines have been trained specifically for such a time as this, and they are ready if called on. Trump is weaponizing economics against the god of these Barbary pirates that have occupied Iran and taken it hostage. He is taking aim at their god, Mammon. Every country aiding and abetting Iran's refusal to yield will face serious financial repercussions. Bessent announced the launch of Economic D-Day, and it's already working. You can tell because of all the squealing going on from the pigs. MSM is earning their Soros paychecks and running it down and attempting to make it out that we are in dire straits, you know. But the fact is, oil has held pretty steadily, amazingly. But nothing like the doomers predicted. And what these yahoos fail to reckon is Trump's ability to counter their narrative. It's ironic that Biden actually conditioned us, you know, to weather high fuel prices. And the difference is that we knew then that Biden was responsible. Remember the stickers on the fuel pumps? Because he is evil and pursued evil policies. But now we know Iran is doing it, and that we have a commander at the wheel of this ship of state who knows what he's doing. It's easier to bear the burden when you know it's temporary and necessary. So what's the end game? It has to be regime change, friend. What does that look like? Well, join me Saturday night about 8 p.m. for Brain Massage Live. Pray for the total collapse of Shia-occupied Iran and for the people to rise up and restore the land of Cyrus. I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. Now you let me know if you see them. You can email me from our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and click send. You can leave a message on our listener response hotline whenever I get it back up. Yeah, we got a problem there. We're going to fix it. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.